I'm Steve G. Jones, back with John Harry Turan and Yanni Maniatis, and we are studying intuition, psychic powers, distance healing, remote viewing, all of the fascinating topics. We're not just studying it, but we're having a discussion about it. And we're learning about it from two people who have lived it and continue to live it. It's just part of what they do. So, Yanni and John, let me let you two jump right back into the material.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. And Yanni, that was a wonderful story. Now, that was an example of healing where you said you just didn't know. You were out of your mind. And I mean it in a nice way, because if you were logically to have analyzed it and thought about it, you'd say, what am I doing here? Putting my hand over that man's heart and making a circle. It would have seemed so ridiculous that you would have stopped. And if he was going through a heart attack or something, that would not have helped at all. But am I correct in assuming there was a knowing while you were doing this, and you didn't stop to figure why you knew that?
Yes, John, absolutely. It was so strong. But it was interesting. The little ego mind was going, "Are you nuts? You might get sued. What are you doing here?" But fortunately, the other part of me was going, "No, just stay, and this is what you should be doing." And so fortunately, I listened to that.
That's great. I like that. I promised to tell a story or an example that happened to me. This really, really happened and saved my life and a number of other people's lives. Remember, Yanni, we discussed that whatever it is intuition does, it's got to be practical. If it can't help us today with our problems, then why bother with it? Well, this was in my early professional days of working for companies. Being a chemist, I had a good job in manufacturing as a supervisor of a certain department in a certain Fortune 500 company. And I had a number of people who worked for me. And there were machines, giant machines, and all kinds of pumps and tanks and everything in the plant. And this one day, we're coming on to the weekend, and we ran 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the machines, we needed the production, and the machines kept running, and whenever one broke, we just fixed it. We called the maintenance people over, they fixed it. So it got to a point where just production, get it out to the door, just make more, make more, make more. Keep the machines running at all costs. And I had this department of people, and I thought, you know, let me walk downstairs to see where these mach how some of my machines were doing. And as I was going downstairs into the other part of the plant, we had different stories of it. There's these giant rumbling machines just turning quickly, and the noise was so horrible. I just leaned against a post and I just looked at them. And to this day, I would swear, if I'm asked on any book anywhere, I could say, this is what happened. The sound of the machines seemed to disappear. It got a little quiet, and I thought to myself, you know, I must be so tired, I'm daydreaming. But I kept leaning against the post, and as I focused on the machines, it was like one machine was talking to another machine. Now, when I told the story many, many years ago, the first time, there was a a lot of laughter when I mentioned that I heard the machines speaking. Now, I am sure the machines were not speaking. If you had a tape recorder, all you would have heard was just noise, this terrible noise of the machines. But I just, in a different state of consciousness for that minute or two, which I think is what saved our lives, heard the machines speaking. Here is what the conversation seemed like when I translated it. You know, machines speaking? Yeah, I know. They should have locked John up a long time ago, taken him away to the Massachusetts home for the mentally bewildered. But no, I stood there, and this is what one of the machines says. You know, this is terrible. This is really terrible. We can't keep going on like this. We will self-destruct. They don't fix us. They don't care. And the other machine says, but John, the supervisor cares, but nobody is listening to him that we've got to shut down and fix the things that are wrong with us. We've been going for so many days, so many weeks, and nobody even bothers. Well, this will be the end of it. We got to leave. We can't continue this. And but we don't want anything to happen to our friend John. And I immediately I snapped out of it and I said, what was that? I said, I'd better never tell anybody this. But I went upstairs again and I looked at the schedule and see who was scheduled to be working where over the weekend. And when I looked at it, I had a crew scheduled to be working right above those machines on Saturday. This happened on a Friday. On Saturday, a few of my favorite people would be there working. And I just looked around and said, no, something isn't right. I don't feel right. I just said to the foreman, I said, hey, tell you what, you guys take tomorrow off. No working tomorrow. They were shocked because this has been going on for so long. They never got a break. You know, the crews just changed and switched. But the department was shut down for Saturday. I'm home on Saturday, and the phone rings around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And whoever was running the plant that day called and said, John, there was a giant explosion in one of your departments. Thank goodness no one, not one of your men, was working today, or else there would have been a number of people killed. Now, if that isn't proof to me that I followed something, some voice within that saved my life, I probably would have been there too, and the lives of a few of the people who were there who had families, wives, children, whatever. I don't know what is. That was a message, and whether I want to think that it came from machines talking or I imagined it, whatever it was very useful data. I had to make a choice. I could have ignored it and said, nah, that's a lot of nonsense. Nope, we need the production, let's go. But you see what I'm talking about, Yanni? Messages that are entirely, totally practical that could change our very lives. This is what happened there, and I think today all of us can train ourselves to get these messages when we listen, when we're quiet, when we are open to the guidance we're given, we can see more clearly which path to take.
Thank you, John. That's a very dramatic story. And one thing I would like to share with the group is a little practical technique that you can use to tweak your intuition. And then maybe we can get some more real neat stories from John. you know, intuition isn't something that just comes to you willy-nilly, though it may seem that way. But you can structure intuition to come to you or intuitions to come to you. And one little technique that I share with people is the following. It's very, very, very simple. And if you practice it enough, you actually get very good at it, and it really works for you. When you're in a situation where you don't really know whether you should do a yes or a no, in other words, should I or shouldn't I, you know, meet this person, go to this place, get involved with a particular business, etc. When those kinds of situations occur, what I've learned to do when I've taught people to do is just imagine a big yes in front of you, and then also imagine in your mind's eye a big no. And without thinking, just put up this big yes and this big no in your mind's eye and see which one lights up. And then take action on that. I wouldn't use this technique for real major decisions right away, but it is a way to tweak your intuition. It is a way to go kind of non-linear, non-logical. And again, you just simply put up a big yes or a big no and wait to see which one lights up and then make the decision. You might want to try it with finding parking spaces or some simple little things. And then just see what happens when you do that. And as you practice it, it'll just come to you very quickly and you'll know yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. And there are many other techniques that one can learn over time that can help you to tweak the intuition, and then it becomes second nature, like a language, and you just know. Things just kind of come to you, and you don't need any techniques to do that. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in so that the listeners can have something to kind of play with here. And I was wondering, John, do you have, you know, some other stories about its practical use?
Oh,
or
yeah. Yes, absolutely, Yanni. Thanks for sharing that. I think people need pointers, and that certainly doesn't take much to do. Imagine the big yes or the big no, and start, like you said, your suggestions about don't start at the highest level. Just try it on little things, a parking space and whatnot. But I want to add one comment to that. If at first it doesn't seem to work, don't give up. You're trying too hard. If you thought you were going to have a parking space at this end of the parking lot and you got there and there wasn't one, it's not because your intuition isn't working. You are trying to make it happen. You're trying, and that's what the problem is. So you're not interpreting the data clearly. You probably got north and south mixed up on the side of the parking lot. Am I correct in saying that, Yanni, from your point
of view? Yes, very good, John. Right. We can learn over time to discern when we're projecting or when we're actually receiving. And again, like you said, if you practice, you'll know the difference. And I really like that you may get north and south mixed up.
but it's an interesting, wonderful ability to have. Just like the ability to play the guitar or the ability to write books or tell stories or the ability to dance or sing. To this day, I really can't sing too well nor dance too well. But there are a few things I do. Every once in a while, I pick up my harmonica, and it's so natural for me to play a beautiful tune, and I don't do it for anybody else except me. So when you do that, it becomes automatic. My intuition works that way now, except when I am ill, or when I'm very confused about things, or when I'm very angry, or whenever I'm trying to make things happen, like I'm going to have to do this or I'll die doing it. And there's this force where there's supposed to be a non-force and just a gentle flowing. I mean, here's an example of how it worked for me to get my first major job in this country after my degree or degrees or whatever. I had been looking for a job and looking for a job and couldn't find a job because nobody wanted to hire you if you didn't have experience. And the problem with that is you can't have experience unless somebody hired you. So there I was in New York City, the big city, going from employment agency to employment agency, and everyone would have me fill out lots and lots of paper and say they'll get back to me. And I had a feeling they wouldn't, but they're doing it because it's their job to do that. And in those days, there were lots of jobs, but lots of people applying for them also. And I thought, hey, I mean, I'm well qualified. I should find a job. But by 3 in the afternoon, I was so tired. I'd go out every day into the big city, go to the employment agencies. There were so many of them around in those days, and I'd be trying to find a job. So this one day, I'm tired. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said to myself, you know, maybe I should call it a day. Maybe I should go home now and start fresh tomorrow. And I stopped, and I noticed the steps I took. I just stopped and breathed a little bit more quietly and said, yeah, you did a full day's search. Time to go home. But before you go home, why don't you rest a while? And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. Why rest? Why don't I just go to the main area where you take the train back to wherever and so forth? And then something said, just rest a while. Now, notice the voice of intuition. It wasn't like someone jumped out in front of me and said, look, John, rest. This is an order. You rest. It was like a gentle suggestion. Why don't you rest a while? 5 minutes wouldn't be a problem. And then you can go home. In fact, it will be more pleasant. So I looked across the street. There was a little park, and there was a bench under a tree. And I thought, well, if I'm going to rest for 5 or 10 minutes, I might as well go sit on that bench, because in New York City, you didn't need to drive. You walked every place, or you took a cab. And in many cases, if you walked, you'd get there faster than a cab would take you, even in those days. So I ambled over to the other side of the road, went under the tree, sat on the bench, and said, wow, this was tough. This looking for a job is really, really rough. And I sat in a dreamy kind of state, just breathing in slowly, breathing out slowly, and thinking, okay, I'm rested enough. Maybe it's time to go now. and I saw a little white thing near to my shoe, and I looked down, and it was this little card, like a business card. Somebody had dropped it. I was surprised I didn't see it there at first. And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and it had an employment agency's name and the phone number of a person to call. And I thought, that's strange. Maybe there was some other poor slob who was looking for a job, found this, and then he didn't want it, and he threw it away, and it flew there, or somehow it got there. I didn't reason too much, and I thought, okay, I found this. There must be a reason for this, because I believe there's a reason for every action, even the smallest action. I know what some people would say. Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and that's okay too, but I was intent on following every possible lead I could get. So I looked at the number, and I said, okay. Now remember, this was before the days of cell phones. You had to go to one of those phones in the corner, and you put in your dime or whatever it was, and you dialed a number. So I went there, and I called the number, and somebody by the name of Dan, I don't even remember his last name, but I remember the first name, Dan. Dan answered, and I said, Mr. whatever it was. He said, call me Dan. I said, Dan, I got your card. And I didn't tell him how I got it, you know. That would not have been wise, I think, at that point, saying, I found your card next to a garbage can or under a bench. No, that would... I said, I got your card, and it says that your agency would like people to apply there because you do place people in all kinds of jobs, especially jobs in chemistry. I'm a chemist. These are my qualifications. What do I do? I'd really like to start working as soon as possible. He says, come on in and let's talk. Since, strangely enough, his office was just a few blocks away, I walked over there. I'm now refreshed. Here is one. This is the last one. If they say no, I'll go home. And I went in there, and I filled out the application. And he says, you'll hear from us. And within a few days, guess what? There was a call. And he said, this company wants to talk with you about working for them. And it was a Fortune 500 company, and that's how I got my first big job in corporate America, because I was quiet enough to listen to my intuition guide me not to go home. It was just a yes-no answer, or this or that. Should I go home now, or should I rest under that tree on that bench for a second? And the answer was, rest. I went over there. I followed it. I did not argue with it. Now, I could have made another choice. I could have said, I'm going home now. I'll rest at home. And if I did that, if I had done that, I would never have found the card next to my shoe. I never would have called a Dan. Maybe I would have had another job a month later, or two or three, or the next day. That I don't know. What I know is by following the feelings that summer day, I ended up getting something I was looking for the longest time. I landed a job. Now, if that's not practical, if that's not life-affirming, if my intuition didn't make something happen, or if my following it did not serve as a great guidance mechanism for me, then I don't know what is. So when people tell me, nah, you can't trust that sort of thing, what they are saying, and this is the case for everyone, when people tell you, oh, that can't work, remember, get the correct interpretation of their words. What they're saying is, for me, that can't work. So when somebody tells you your intuition, nah, that's nonsense, it can't work. Just think to yourself, what they're saying is, in their opinion, that's what it is. That's not important. What is important is your opinion, your belief, your trust. And there are so many stories like this. And if you keep practicing, you will come to a point where you will just actually know without knowing how you know. And instead of saying, oh my gosh, how did I know that? You just trust the process. Of course I know that. And I have tried to guide my life by that for many, many years. But like everyone else too, when I think I just am so great, there is like the hand of the universe gives me a whack on the right side or left and say, come on, John, wake up. You still got a lot more to learn about these things. So don't become so full of it, so to say. Don't be so amused and taken with what you just did. It's like the guy who ran out of, and I mentioned this before, after getting his degree, he ran out of the building and he raised it to the sky and he said, "Hey, world, here I come. I got my A.B. degree." And the world said, "Sit down, son. I'll teach you the rest of the alphabet." So there are lots more to learn about this. And I'm sure, Yanni, in your experience and in your studies, you have seen how all these things tie into each other and how they are just part of the beautiful, total, whole, W-H-O-L-E, of life.
Yes, John, that's a great story that I think really helps the listeners kind of understand how your intuition works. I know I've often have to tell people when I'm teaching them that intuition isn't kind of like a blockbuster movie that comes to you in Technicolor and just slams you in the face. It's this gentle sense. It's just following one lead after another. It's kind of, if you just notice there's a golden thread in front of you, and most people miss it, they don't even see the golden thread. But if you notice it's there and you just hold on to it and follow it, it'll eventually lead you to this beautiful tapestry that will paint a whole picture for you of where you're going, why you're going, and how you're going to where you're going. And I think that story that you just shared certainly illustrates that, again, to just follow gradually the feelings, the impulses. I'll share a very short story of my wife's. It's kind of, we've come to understand that everything speaks to us. You know, John has machines speaking to him. Boy, we've had all kinds of things speak to us. my wife was in the midst of not liking a job that she was in, but kind of reticent to change because, again, you know, as we all are, it's like, well, I like the familiar I'm in, and I'm afraid to move into something I don't know. And anyhow, one day she was driving home while she was in this conundrum in her own mind, and she passes a real estate agency that she's passed, you know, literally 1,000 times, you know, on the way home. And there's a sign out there, and the sign says, "It's time to move." And really, it was the first time she ever saw the sign, or at least consciously saw the sign. And it struck her because at that moment she was thinking, do I leave my job, do I go to the new one, what, blah, 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 all that stuff that goes on. She saw the sign, and it wasn't a very big one. And again, all it said, "It's time to move." And she went, "It's time to change my job." And she did. And it was such a good move for her, and she was very, very happy with it. So it's kind of interesting the way it works. She was listening somehow. And she saw the sign, double entendre there, play on words, and she followed it. And for her, it not only, you know, was it a better environment, there was also, you know, more money and all that, she really benefited from just listening to her intuition. Good. So it's another little story.
Yeah. I think that's a great story because it illustrated to me something, Yanni. It says, this is simple, you just have to be aware. Had she not seen the sign, she could have seen it, but if she had done nothing about it, it didn't make an impression on her, no action would have been taken. Similar to what I got in my head when I sort of, there were two voices in my head, one telling me to go home, the other whispering that I should rest for a few moments. I chose. Remember, I'm still in charge. She could have chosen to ignore that sign. I chose to rest for a few moments before doing anything else. By choosing, I changed, you know, the many world theory. The universe split, the world split, and I went on that other path. By choosing the suggestion of the second voice, I ended up on a bench under a tree, saw a business card lying there on the ground, and although I was tired, I picked it up, made a call, got a job. That's how you said your wife moved. See, it's not magical. I think it's just natural. Really, I think so. And that's how you're looking at it also, Yanni, from what I'm gathering here, which is fantastic. It means anybody, just almost anybody, can do this. if they just practice a little. It's no different than practicing to play a musical instrument or practicing to drive or practicing to speak, to be a speaker or a writer or anything. Would you say that's one of the ways to look at it, Yanni? Wouldn't you say that that's how it works?
Yes, John. I mean, it's intuition is just a very easy faculty that we all have to work with. It's not something you do. It's something you allow. You know, it's like if you want a butterfly to land on your shoulder, you can't will the butterfly to land on your shoulder. You've got to just let the butterfly land on your shoulder. And if you just sit quietly, it will. Another little example of that, and then I'll hand it back to you, John, is I remember when my son was 4 years old, it was the fall, and there were a lot of leaves on the ground, and people had raked them into big piles, and he was having the greatest time just, you know, messing around in the leaves, and leaves were still falling. It was kind of a windy day, and I'm walking along, and I'm going to myself, I want to catch a leaf, I want to catch a leaf, I want to catch a leaf. And every time a leaf would fall, I would just go to put my hand out there to catch it, and it would just elude me somehow. There it was, just about to land on my hand, and boink, it just fell through. And then finally I said, stop, don't even try to catch the leaf, just keep walking and forget about it. And I did, and a couple of minutes later, just walking along, completely having forgotten that I was, you know, had been trying to catch a leaf, I don't know how it happened. My hands are just moving back and forth, and the next thing I know, there's a leaf in my hand. So intuition is kind of like that. You just have to allow it, and if you allow it, it will be there because it's always there, and you'll be amazed, about the things that you will learn about yourself and about others and about life by just listening and just allowing.
Thank you, Yanni. That is wonderful. Because it has always been my observation that if you allow instead of trying to make things happen, it works a lot better. And that's how it is with intuition. Just allow it to flow. It's a part of who you are. And it will bring you all the joys, save you from a lot of pain. And it doesn't mean life will be like a walk in the park, but it'll be a lot better than not using your intuition. Thank you, Yanni.
Thank you, John.
And thank you both for reminding us of the things that we should be interested in, things that are natural for us, the powers that we have naturally, the abilities we have. And if we'll just take the time to tune in, we will live such richer lives. We will have a fulfillment that can happen instantly. So thank you both, and I look forward to learning more as we continue exploring this topic.